Jasmine Courage joining us here on Morning Magazine, AM 1320. You're listening to WFHR.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs states that there are five basic needs that must be met before anything else. Yet without realizing it, we often bend reality and stretch that five to 10, 12, or even 15. Simon Riley, a coach and previous TED Talk presenter, is on this week's show to explain 17 mistakes that the average consumer makes.
Join us for Real Wealth Radio right here at 8:06 Saturday mornings on WFHR, brought to you by Dan Guck at Legacy Accounting and Financial Services.
Sergeant Jason Nielsen served his country as an MP in Iraq.
I was in Iraq for 10 months before I was hit by a sniper.
He suffered a paralyzing injury, ending his military service. Paralyzed veterans of America's National Service Officers, such as Sherita Latham, are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned.
She worked with my wife, took care of everything for me just so I could focus on just recovery and trying to get on with life.
To learn more, visit pva.org.
I'm Drew Brees, NFL quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, here with Bugs Bunny to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you fuel your body and your mind.
So what do you like to throw around the football like Drew?
Skateboard.
Play frisbee in the park.
Ride a bike.
Kick the soccer ball around.
Or dance in your room.
Just move it your way.
Because nothing makes you feel better than moving every day.
And that makes you part of a winning team.
So be a player.
You'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
Move it your way and be a player.
Get up and play an hour a day, Doc. Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
That's right, at letsmove.gov. Let's hear that one more time, Doc. That's www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, we'll see sunshine to start, some increasing clouds into the afternoon, high temperatures working up into the low to mid-teens. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy skies, temperatures rising from the lower teens. Milder into your Thursday, do pick up a chance for a wintry mix, with those highs in the upper 30s close to 40. And Friday, cloudy conditions there, mid to upper 20s. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Thank you, Michael. It is 1 below in Stevens Point, 4 below in Marshfield and Wausau, 1 degree here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to part two of Morning Magazine for this January 8th, 2020. Right now, we are joined by Carrie Anfinson. She is Community Engagement Specialist, and Kim Shields, Community Investment Coordinator with our Encourage organization. Thank you so much for being in with us, ladies.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Appreciate your time, always. I know that you are coming out of a bit of a break here, so you're probably hitting the ground running. Got a lot going on, I can only imagine.
Yes, we do. At the beginning of the year, it's always very busy.
So, Kim, with you having you in with us and everything, I wanted to get to the Community Foundation and kind of touch on that right away. I wanted to ask you both how your holidays were and everything. I hope they were great. I don't want to seem rude, but we only have so much time together, so I want to make sure to get all your stuff in. And this Community Foundation is important. And kind of like start off, just for those that don't know, what is the Community Foundation?
Well, thank you for asking, James. The Community Foundation is often something that people don't understand. Mm-hmm. They don't really know what a Community Foundation is. And so we kind of wanted to break it down a little bit for our listeners today. Some people think that a Community Foundation is a bank or a trust company or a savings and loan, and we are not. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and as such, we're a public charity. So we are able to receive funds, donations, for our own work, as well as organizations in our community, other nonprofits around the country, but primarily our community, because community foundations are typically place-based, which we are. Okay. So that's a big thing to know, that we are a place-based nonprofit organization. And so so with that, a lot of times we are able to hold the donations to support organizations in our community. And so we have different types of funds that are established to do that. So like our designated funds support other nonprofits like the Family Center. These are just some examples. Boys and Girls Club, ODC, Cultural Center. We have so many wonderful organizations in our community and donors that wish to support those organizations forever. So the word I said last time was in perpetuity, the big P word.
Yeah.
That's what it is forever. So that somebody interested in supporting those organizations, you know, maybe they want to donate now, but they want to make sure that that organization is able to live forever. And so we are able to help invest that. And through our investments, the investments also support our local community. But those, they would get like an annual distribution, annual money to help support that organization forever. So so that's big.
Yeah. And we know that a lot of our nonprofits depend on those distributions. Yeah. You know, they look forward to when Kim sends those out because, you know, they know that there's so many supportive people in this community who want to see them successful and thrive. But those folks are, you know, putting that money in to encourage so that they can continue that, like Kim says, in perpetuity. So it's not a one-time gift here and there. It's a gift that they're going to receive every year. And that's a great way for someone to fulfill their charitable wishes because they know, even when they're gone, that that investment is going to live on.
One of the biggest things on people's minds in the last, I'd say, 3-4 years that I've found with anybody I'm interviewing with nonprofits and different organizations is they want to know, okay, if I'm going to donate my $5, is the whole $5 going into this? Mm-hmm. Or is $2 going into it and $3 is going into the company or what have you and stuff? Mm-hmm. People want to, it's not so much that people are don't want to donate or don't want to, you know, invest. It's that they want to know what they're doing, what they're where the money is going. And that is another thing that I think of immediately when I hear this community foundation. And it's something I think also that is noteworthy with, you know, what you guys do over there. That you're very honest. You're very transparent about it and very open about it. And you're in the same place other people are with this. You want them to know where their money is going and that kind of thing.
Right. And we have been really, really fortunate over the years that we've been able to hold our administrative oversight to a very low level. We've had some incredibly generous donors, so that it is a very small percent from an administration standpoint that we take on that. And taking, I mean, not taking, but, you know, to help support the administrative fees. And so as you said, they want to make sure the full $5, it's not quite the full $5, but it's pretty darn close.
Right.
You know, we have 1% and 0.5% fees on theirs. So they're very low. Others are much higher.
I think it's not so much, that is very understandable, especially when you're talking about, you know, we've got to keep the lights on. We want you guys to be able to keep doing what you're doing and everything. So that, we're all adults, we understand that part of it. I think when people try to hide that stuff, those little things and stuff, that's where people get in trouble and you lose a lot of people. People all of a sudden they don't want to, they give up on donating to anything and stuff. And that's not what we want. We want people to feel comfortable what they're doing. You mentioned a term, Kim, that I wanted to touch on because I'm not sure everybody's familiar with what it means, place-based.
Yes.
When you're talking about this, so what does that mean exactly?
So in our specific situation, Encourage primarily supports the Southwood County area. And so that is like Wisconsin Rapids, Nakusa, Town of Rome, Port Edwards, Pittsville, Vesper, Rudolph. We have a kind of a 7 community outreach area that we specifically support. However, through our work and in other grant funding that we've received in the past, like for instance, when we were working on our manufacturing partnership, and which now is housed at Midstate, they're more regional. And so we were able to expand some of that, but primarily we are the Southwood County area.
I see. Okay, thank you. Very, very well explained, by the way. Even I could understand that. I mean, so if people want to find out if they have follow-up questions like that, or if they want to find out more about the Community Foundation, can they reach out to you, Kim?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. Any of us at the Community Foundation would be very, very happy to talk with somebody. And, you know, not just about what we do, but how to help them fulfill their charitable wishes. You know, maybe they have a very specific interest area.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to support a lot of different areas. So another type of a fund we have, and community foundations in general have, are what we call donor-advised funds. So let's say there's a donor that needed a tax deduction from last year, from 2019, but they don't intend to or don't wish to support that any specific organization right away.
Sure.
We're able to help invest that money, grow the money, so that then when they have an interest or something comes up all of a sudden that is a legitimate 501c3 organization, we are able to help facilitate that gift for them. So a good example is the Cultural Center.
Yeah.
So the Cultural Center had their capital fundraising campaign that came up very quickly. It was a quick turnaround. And with donor advised funds, we were able to facilitate more than $26,000 in donor recommended grants from their funds to help support that. Then if you look at, because they'd had their building fund prior to that, and you, if you add those in, it's almost $35,000. You know, we have the beauty and the flexibility to help the donors recognize and fulfill their wishes.
That warms my heart hearing those numbers, too. That's really cool.
So you think about, you know, someone who does have a donor advised fund with Encourage, and when the Cultural Center example came up this last fall, or winter, I should say. It's still not winter yet, right? as it's 1 degree.
You're right.
You know, those donors, you know, at that point in time, they didn't know this was coming. The Cultural Center didn't know it was coming.
Right.
They received an opportunity, and they needed to take advantage of it very quickly. And those donors who had a donor advised fund with us may not have had, you know, $1,000 in their pocket to go write a check to Cultural Center. But because of the investments they made with Encourage, they were able to call us. Kim was able to process their transaction very quickly and smoothly, and they were able to make that gift happen within that time frame so it could be matched to meet that goal that Cultural Center had.
It's a really cool breakdown of that, too. And it's something I think a lot of us can relate to and go with. And, you know, it just makes sense in a lot of ways, too, because if you come into a large sum of money or you happen to get a new job and you're starting to make more money or anything like that, you 9 out of 10 people are probably going to find an investment banker or somebody that they can talk to where, okay, be smart about their money and where do I put it into and all these different things. It's no different than with when you're donating money, when you're looking to do that and you want to be smart about it. You don't want to just throw it, especially like I was talking about before. People nowadays, more than ever, are want to be smart with their money, not just when they're investing it, but when they're investing it in the community foundations and stuff.
Right.
Here we have something like this with the community foundation, where you have a literal foundation. You have a literal, you know.
Yeah, and we're very, very fortunate to have the community foundation in our community.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing that I've always been extremely proud of with our particular community foundation is that every single gift size is appreciated. We don't we're not just, you know, for people that have a lot of wealth or it's wonderful if they've come into wealth and they have this giving spirit. But I remember I started in at Encourage, had a different name back then, but in 2004, and you know, we had one paper delivery person in town that brought in, you know, his quarters and pennies and dimes. We, at one point in the Nakusa area, there was a Gimme Five campaign, just asking for $5 from every resident to support their community. And so we really are for everybody.
I'm sorry.
Not just the wealthy.
Yeah, it's a really great point to make. I think that, I can... I remember being a kid and being in the projects. We grew up very poor and all this. And during the holidays, it was a big deal to my mom and dad that we went to our soup kitchen and handed out soup. And as a little kid thinking, well, we could just as easily be in line here. What are we doing? Why you know, as a little kid thinks and stuff. And my mom and dad being very adamant about, look, there are people that have it worse than us. You can always, everybody can help everybody.
Back.
There's always a way to. And there's a lot of people out there that want to do stuff like that, but may feel, well, I'm not a millionaire, so what can I do? But so it's a really good point to make that, you know, if you want to and if you're able, there are ways to help. And sometimes it's not always about the dollars. They're extremely important. But sometimes it's about volunteering your time or spreading the word about things, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Yes,
there are all kinds of ways to add and do good. Corey, we are going to get to you, I promise.
Oh, that's fine. this is important. People need to understand the work that we do and the value that it brings to the community. So
absolutely.
We could spend all day talking about it. That's fine.
There is also, to keep Kim busy here, there are scholarships that we want to remind people about, too.
Yes.
So we can touch on that for a moment.
Thank you. Scholarship season is in full swing. It is a year-round program. However, right now, our local graduating high school seniors are hopefully busy filling out their online scholarship application, as well as college students that were from the Southwood County area, because we are really pleased to administer over 100 scholarship funds. Mm. And they all have different types of criteria. It might be school-based. It might be program-based. It might be specific grade point average, interest areas for kids just in college only. But the majority are for graduating high school seniors. And so we were really, really lucky that listening, you know, we are resident engagement. We want to hear their voice. Getting feedback from the students, we heard a couple of years ago that they wanted the application open earlier so that they could fill it out during Christmas break. The college students, you know, some are still home on winter room, so get those filled out.
Yep.
They opened on December 18th, and it closes on February 6th. So it's just over a month, actually just under a month, to finish filling out those applications. It's online, super easy, one-stop shop.
One of the things that I want to say about maybe 6 months ago or so, my son is looking at colleges and everything, so I was with him trying to look into scholarships and that kind of thing. And I hadn't done that since I was in school in his situation, you know, back in 97 or something, like 96, 97, something like that. So
you're
it's
young.
Been a long time. I was blown away by how many different scholarships there are nowadays. There are so many of them out there.
Yes.
So my first thought when I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking about what you're saying there about kids like in a similar situation like my son and that kind of thing. Even knowing about what ones are available, like what ones are out there and stuff, is that something that I can reach out to you, Kim, and find out more about?
Yes, absolutely. And we also have information on our website.
Yeah.
We have our scholarship bulletin is currently being updated as we speak, and the new scholarship listing will be out there. However, what is really, really great about our online application is we are working with a third-party administrator that has really helped us to gain efficiencies and to take out some of the bias. You know, we're in a beautiful small community, but that means a lot of people know each other.
Right.
And we have to be very, very careful that, you know, it's an unbiased decision being made. And so this has really helped us to kind of even the playing field. The student, the applicant, will fill out the basic information based on what they put in. They will be automatically put into the system. There's algorithms, you know, all that.
Yeah.
Technical jargon behind the scenes.
Yeah, but I know what you're talking about.
We'll filter them into the scholarships that they're eligible for.
So they're filling out one application for over 100 scholarships. We're making it easy.
Yeah,
it's not a needle in a haystack where you're out looking. Like you said, there's so many available. Where do you start? Yeah. Well, you start with us because you fill out one for 100. It's great.
And maybe out of that 100, you're eligible for 75, and you thought you were only eligible for 20.
Yeah, yeah. Just even having the knowledge there accessible for you, you have to reach out to you guys. You really do.
Yes.
Because you're doing yourself a disservice by not doing it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, look into it, talk to you guys, find out about some of these things. Like you said, there could be some that we never even knew about.
Right.
So, when we come back, Corey, I'd like to ask you about the Friends of Encourage Fund.
Absolutely.
So we can get into that when we get back. We have Corey and Kim with us from Encourage, and we'll be back with more Morning Magazine here on AM 1320 WFHR.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Badger Basketball.
Dribble hands off to Trice, top of the key, bobs around a Cleaver screen to throw to Pritzel. He'll try a three left side, nailed it. It's Trevor Anderson, scoots to the front court. He'll try a three. Badgers take the lead. Rebound, Trevor Anderson, 13 seconds left in the half. Shot clock is dark. Wall applies the brakes, bounces to Davidson, rotates to King, open three, left corner. A lean forward is good. A lean forward with a triple. Shot clock at five. Carton the drive, hangs in the air, and throws a wild pass to Andre Wesson, left corner, and a pass stolen away by Kobe King. Kobe down the lane to the rim, layup good. Washington races up the left sideline. He'll try a three, he'll hit it. You can have it. The Wisconsin Badgers come into Columbus and knock off the fifth-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes, 61-57.
College basketball lives here on the Badger Sports Network.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, we'll see sunshine to start, some increasing clouds into the afternoon, high temperatures working up into the low to mid-teens. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy skies, temperatures rising from the lower teens. milder into your Thursday to pick up a chance for a wintry mix with those highs in the upper 30s close to 40. And Friday, cloudy conditions there, mid to upper 20s. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Thanks a lot, Michael. No change in the temperatures, ladies. I'm sorry. I was really hoping to give you, like, warm temperatures. Should I just lie to you and tell you?
Can you just say two?
Can you say two?
Can you say two?
The sun came out. I'm
waiting for two over here.
I'll take two. It is one below at Stevens Point, four below in Marshfield and Wausau, 1 degree here in Wisconsin Rapids. We are speaking with Corey and Kim from Encourage. Thank you both so much for being in with us. I did want to mention, we were talking about the website a couple of times, and EncourageCF.org, EncourageCF.org.
Yes.
Fantastic website you guys have. I'm able to do all my homework for the interviews we do and find out so many different things, whether it's about the Tribune building or any other thing else that we talk about here. It is all there for you and very accessible.
Thank you.
Great website. So we mentioned this before break, the Friends of Encourage Fund, Corey. This is a... With all the important work that you guys do for our community, we appreciate it and we talk about it all the time. It is important to also, and this is something that I talk about with all kinds of different organizations, it is important in this world to take care of your own backyard so that you can help others. One of the examples I always like to use is the airplane one, where they teach you all the time in an airplane, your masks come down, put your mask on first before you try to put it on your kids. Mm-hmm. Our instinct as parents, or just as human beings, is to take care of the person next to us. But we're not doing them any favors if we're struggling to put it on them because we didn't put ours on first. And we pass out and we're not able to put the mask on that person. Put your mask on first, help the others. You guys are going to be able to do and able to help other people and do so much for our community if we're able to help you. We're able to help you keep the lights on and stuff. So as far as the Friends of Encourage Fund, what exactly is this for those that haven't heard of it before?
Sure. So the end of last year, it was determined that we would like to create a Friends of Encourage Fund. Mm-hmm. Many other community foundations will have a fund in their organization that just supports their operating expenses. And so for the longest time, we've been so fortunate. We started off our first 20 years with great donations to just support our work. It was not, those donations were not meant to support other nonprofits, but to support the work of Encourage. And so we were fortunate. And during that time, we spent so much of our energy focusing on how do we build the capacity of others? How do we take care of others? How do we make sure everyone else in the community is focused on and being raised up? But what we weren't so good at is taking care of ourselves. And so now we're realizing, you know, last year was our 25th year as an organization. And going into this 26th year, we know we need to focus on ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves, much like you said. And through great conversations with some of our most supportive donors, we've decided to establish the Friends of Encourage Fund. And so that fund is specifically set up. It's a fund at Encourage where gifts to that fund are going to support our work, helping to create an inclusive and adaptive community that works well for all. So that is the mission at Encourage. And this fund is going to support our staff and enable us to continue doing the work that we always talk about when we're here every month. And so we're really excited about this. And the work that we do is so important to this community, and I think sometimes we underplay it, and that's why these last couple of months we've been trying to really think about what is it that we do, how do we articulate what is a community foundation, what is it that we do that sets us apart from other nonprofits or just other foundations, not just, you know, community foundations. And we identify that there's things that we do, so... We support local nonprofits. We heard Kim talk about ways that we do that today. And just last year alone, we gave out $650,000 in grants to over 60 local nonprofits. So that's one of the things that we do for nonprofits. But we also deliver capacity building. So we host nonprofit trainings for our community partners, usually at no cost, you know, so that leaders in our community of the nonprofit organizations or their staff can come in and learn and about topics or things that are applicable to their organizations. We most recently held one on some new tax laws. And we hope to be hosting another one this spring as well on a new topic. We provide community access to community data and local data to assist nonprofits, and they can use that in their decision-making, but a lot of them use it, and they'll tell us that they use it in their grant writing because it's hard to find good data that's so centralized, and we've had some opportunities to work with great other resources to help us get that granular data to Southwood County. So that's something that we do provide as well. The next area of work that we do is we incubate new ideas and initiatives. And this is something that's unique to our community foundation. Not all community foundations look to support that. And so we believe that every resident should have the ability to meet their full potential. And that looks different for every single person, you know, but we want to make sure that we're connecting individuals and organizations and to resources so that they can, you know, achieve whatever project they're looking at or initiative that they have. We do that through our What If grants. We do that through providing administrative support for projects like the Dick Trickle Memorial Projects or the Dove's Nest, things like that. We created initiatives last year like our Farmers Market Dollars Program, which provided access to local healthy food to over 500 residents last summer. But it also helped support a community asset, the farmers market, which we firmly believe is a wonderful community asset. And if people have not been there, we were hoping to get folks down there supporting it and supporting the farmers, because that is very cyclical. You know, once you give that $5 there, it's going to a vendor who's now supporting the community through that $5, giving it back. So, and yeah, another thing that we do at Encourage is we convene residents and organizations for greater impact. We know that people are better when they're brought together and knowledge and resources can be shared. And so that's what we do. We try to convene and facilitate whenever possible to help, you know, solve community issues, fill some community gaps or needs. One of those examples was back when Encourage led the effort to convert the vacant downtown building, used to be a Walmart, into the Centralia Center.
Yeah.
A lot of times people don't realize the role that we played in bringing that together. And convening folks takes time, it takes money, it takes staffing, it takes resources, lots of energy. And so those are types of examples of things that we do as well.
There's, I mean, if you walk around, well, you're not going to walk around town right now, probably.
You
drive around town.
If only it was two.
As you drive around town, as you're going back and forth to work or to businesses or running errands or anything like that, all you have to do is open your eyes and you'll see something that Encourage has had their foot stamp on, that you guys, your fingerprint on, that you guys have added to this community by doing. There are a lot of great examples. What is the Friends of Encourage Fund?
So the Friends of Encourage Fund is a fund that's open to anyone who would like to donate. So like Kim said, we'll take $5, we'll take $100, we'll take $10 million if you got it. But but that fund is specifically set aside dollars that are set aside to help support the work of Encourage. And some of the funds that will go into there are going to be set into an endowment. Just like the other organizations, that endowment fund will continue to grow and invest and then spin out annual distributions to Encourage so that we will be taking care of long-term as well.
A lot of the community foundations do have endowments for that purpose so that they can take care of, keep their own lights on, as you
said. Because that is a vital part of this. We want you guys to be able to keep doing what you're doing, so we want to help in doing that.
So we can continue to take care of others.
Absolutely. And I understand, as in a way of that, you have a community challenge launching this month?
Yeah. So
cool.
You're going to hear more about this, but we thought we would share here first with you, Jay.
Teaser.
This is breaking news. Oh, I love it.
Through the generosity of a local donor who wishes to remain anonymous, we received a $50,000 grant, or $50,000 gift that we are putting out to the community, because that donor is allowing us to use that as a matching grant opportunity. So that $50,000 will be made available. We want to use that to build up to $100,000. So that donor is so supportive, and we're so grateful. And, you know, we wish we could thank them out loud, but that's not their
wishes.
Welcome. And that's part of why people give to a community foundation, because they know that they can remain anonymous if they choose so. So the end of this month, we're going to be launching a community challenge where we're asking folks to give to Encourage, to give to the Friends of Encourage Fund, and know that your gift is going to be matched up to $50,000.
Wow. That is pretty cool.
Such a blessing.
So watch for that. The ending on that's going to be Valentine's Day. So love your community.
You'll
be hearing more about that. We just are pulling this together as we learned about this opportunity.
Sure.
So we're really excited, and we hope that folks remember us when they're doing their charitable giving. And, you know, tax return season's coming up. So if you want to, you know, use a little bit of that and send it our way, we would fully appreciate that.
And you're again, going back to the beginning of our conversation, it is an investment that you're making with whatever you're putting in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're putting that investment back into the community.
The community that we all love.
Exactly. And that's one of those things where you're gonna be in this town. You're gonna be a member in this town. You want your town to be as strong and great as possible.
Yes.
You guys are part of the reason why that is happening, why that goes that way. And I don't think anybody can feel, you know, it's a win-win situation when it comes to that. I wanted to give you a chance to do a shout-out, though, too, because you guys got some new tenants.
Yes, we're really excited. So we announced just last month that we were having some renovations done in the Encourage building. Mm-hmm. We own that building. And
it was actually gifted to us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
nice gift. That was good.
So when our friends at Metcalf and Quinn retired in June, we decided that it needs a little TLC over there. They were okay with it, but some of the things needed to be taken care of. So sure. We're upgrading and renovating that space for our new tenants, which will be Next Home Partners.
Nice. Very cool.
Who will be taking over the Metcalf and Quinn side.
Hmm.
And then we moved upstairs. So you're going to find Encourage upstairs in our building now.
Cool.
And on the first floor, you're going to see in March, Carrie Van Aert State Farm Insurance.
Huh. Okay. Oh, that's really cool. Well, congratulations to all of them and everything. And you couldn't have better neighbors. You guys are awesome. You guys are so great. We appreciate you, not only everything you do for our community, but everything coming in and being with us on the air here. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Looking forward to talking again real soon, especially talking about some of these things that we mentioned today. So we'll talk more very soon. Thanks again to Corey and Kim for joining us. Corey Anfinson, Community Engagement Specialist, and Kim Shields, Community Investment Coordinator with our friends at Encourage. Be sure to join us tomorrow. We'll have more and more in a magazine for you, where we have Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent in with us, and Nancy Turek from the UW Extension. On tomorrow's Morning Magazine, AM 1320, WFHR.